of heights to the depths of the sea.
Notice in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, and here is again almost like a little addendum to what we learned earlier. If you forgive, there's the conditional phrase again. Whenever you see that, it's conditional. Many things are unconditional. When God says he's going to do something, he can do it without you doing anything. The Bible is replete with those kinds of statements where God says, I'm going to do this regardless of your performance.
You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we...
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. Forgiveness is required for those who have been forgiven. We are not given the luxury of holding on to our bitterness towards other people. Once our eyes have been opened to see the enormity of our offenses against God, the injuries which others have done to us appear to be extremely trivial. If, on the other hand, we have an exaggerated view of the offenses of others, it proves that we have minimized our own. Don't allow sin to look worse on others as it does on us. Lord, bring us to forgiveness for others as you so faithfully forgave us. Now let's join Pastor Rob with today's message.
You're either going to get bitter or you're going to get better. And if you continue to hold the grudge, you are going to get bitter and more bitter and more bitter to the point when you get in your 80s, you're just going to be this little raisin sitting in your chair just angry, and even your dog bites you because he either can't stand you. Even your little chihuahua, your little shih tzu, is going to start biting you because you're cantankerous, old, and nasty because you've got an unforgiving heart. And you've allowed it to infect everything. It's like a cancer that has just eaten you apart. And everyone around you doesn't like to be around you either, because your heart is filled with unforgiveness and bitterness. Is that you? I hope it's none of us. But I know that this is true. Are you still holding a grudge? And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The King James Version says, deliver us from evil, but it's more accurately translated, deliver us from the evil one. And this is the prayer here, is that God might deliver us from getting into the place of being tempted. But we have to understand that God is not the one who tempts us, is he? In James it says, let no one, when he is tempted, say, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted, notice, when he is drawn away by his own desires and he's enticed. And God will allow our faith to be tried and tested, isn't it true? But he does not tempt us. God is in the business of refining and teaching you, but not destroying you. And there is the difference. We are the ones who flirt with temptation, and the devil is always there to fan those flames. Proverbs, you know, warns us about it. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not have his clothes burned? You know, there's something about this old nature of mine that likes to get as close as I can to the line without actually falling into the ditch and falling into sin. We do. We like to get, and you've heard of me use this, you know, when you young kids, there's no filter. You tell a child, no, don't touch that hot stove. And they got the lollipop in their mouth and thinking, why not? Don't touch the hot stove. The mother's going, because it's going to burn your hands. Honey, it's going to burn your hands, but don't touch the stove. It's red hot. And then you get the child starts to cry, and the mother's like, I told you. I told you. Why didn't you listen? Do you not know that I love you? I told you the truth so you wouldn't get hurt. And see, God is pleading with people today. Listen to me, says the Lord. Listen to me. Be obedient. But do we want to flirt with the edge? Do we want to get right to the edge? Do we want to, you know, the Bible tells us in James to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Jesus resisted the devil and the devil left him. But if we flirt with sin, we're going to get bit by the effects of it. And God's desire is to help us, but we need to not give the devil any room in our will to accomplish anything. And what does Corinthians tell us? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And when we are tempted, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We bring temptation oftentimes on ourselves. But when we are tempted, it's not by God. But he'll use the devil. He will allow the devil to do those things, that your faith, that you'll be tested. But it doesn't originate from God. But Jesus understands what it's like to be tempted. He was in all points tested tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then in Matthew 4, we know this, we've already looked at it, Jesus being tempted of the devil in the desert, in the Judean wilderness, and he went after him with the big three, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They always seem to work. So it's good that we should say, Lord, deliver me from temptation. Deliver me from even the possibility of it happening. But notice what it says in Matthew 4, verse 11, when Jesus was tempted. It says, after the temptation, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. In Luke chapter 4, it says that when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Do you understand what that means? That means that for a season he left, but he's coming back again. But have anybody noticed that? That when you resist sin, that the devil always comes back? And what are you going to do? Are you going to cave in? The more you cave in, the more you're not going to resist him the second, third, fourth, fifth time. But you got to resist him. What does Peter tell us? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if that is the case, I better really be careful, because he is always on the move. And those fallen angels, those devils, are always working as well. But you keep fighting the good fight of faith and you keep resisting. The more you do it, the more you'll be able to resist. But if you keep caving in, you're just adding fuel to the fire. And do not lead us. Notice the pronoun again. And that's really what intercession is, isn't it? When you're praying for somebody else, Lord, lead us, not just me, but my brothers and sisters as well. Lord, forgive and don't lead so-and-so, Lord. I know the decision they're about to make. We've talked about it on the phone, Lord. They're about ready to make this decision. Lord, don't let them be tempted. Don't let them go into that place. And that's what intercession is. And intercession is when you intercede on the behalf of somebody else. And who was the greatest intercessor of all time? It was none other than our Savior Jesus. He was the greatest intercessor. Even in John 17, verse 5, what did he say? I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, Father, but that you should keep them from the evil one. And this is something that, church, we need to get back to, because I can often, so often, my prayers are just self-focused. It's all about me, but I got to get out of myself and not allow all of my prayer time to be about me and what I need, but to really think about others. And to think about the corporately, the body of Christ. Here, even in this fellowship, how often have you prayed for the corporate body here? Maybe you do every day, and praise the Lord for that. But it's something that we really need to look at again and say, Lord, I've been getting very self-centered in my prayer. It's been all about me and what I want. Notice at the end there of verse 13, And for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Notice, yours is the kingdom. The kingdom belongs to you, and the power, all power belongs to you, and the glory, all of the glory belongs to God. And we know this through Romans. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Yes. All the powers that be are ordained of God, even the ones we don't like. He's allowed them to be in place. And is your prayer life growing as a result of everything that we're seeing in our country? It ought to. It ought to grow. David said, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell therein. He has founded it upon the waters, established it upon the seas." The earth is the Lord's. He is all powerful. For thine is the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Notice in verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses," and here is again almost like a little addendum to what we learned earlier. If you forgive, there's the conditional phrase again. Whenever you see that, it's conditional. Many things are unconditional. When God says he's going to do something, he can do it without you doing anything. The Bible is replete with those kinds of statements where God says, "I'm going to do this regardless of your performance." But there are things that we ought to do that he says, "If you do this, then I will do this." And those are the things, friends, that we need to really think about. I need to think about these things. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." Notice conditional statements. And that's a hard thing to think, isn't it? It's a hard thing to read. But see, that's how important it is to forgive. That's the importance of forgiveness, my brothers and sisters. May there not be a heart of unforgiveness in us. If there is someone that you know has wronged you, or maybe you've wronged somebody else and you know that there's a grudge, how much better would your family be? In every single family that I've talked to, including my own, there are people that have said something wrong, done something wrong, and people haven't addressed it. Every year they get together for Thanksgiving, every year they get together for Christmas, and there's always this underlying tension. "I'd never forgive them for that. You know, 2 years ago, he said this," and then all of a sudden, you know, back in 1975, she said this, and then all of a sudden, this whole thing is just still like a knot in your heart. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Everybody's getting the spirit of Christmas when in our hearts we're harboring such nasty unforgiveness. Would you pray about doing something these next two holidays that we have coming up? Would you begin praying now about those family members, those aunts, uncles, whatever distance relations that you're going to come in contact with, that you know that they have a problem with you or you have a problem with them? Would you be willing to pray about doing the right thing? Most of us think, well, we don't want to mess up this event. Hey, you know what? Take the person out for a walk. Take them out, you know, because you need to walk, because after all that turkey, you're going to need to walk. So take them out for a walk and get it right and say, "You know what? I've been harboring something against you for years, and I just want to tell you I am so sorry. You said this, you did this back at this time, and I'm sorry, but I've hated you. Will you forgive me?" And then you watch what that person does. Hopefully they'll reciprocate and say, "You know what, I felt the same thing. I could feel the tension between us. I didn't know what it was. I was always wondering what I did wrong around you, but now I know. Of course I forgive you. Forgive me for doing such a careless thing, for saying such a careless thing, for doing such a careless act." Folks, we don't have much time left. Is it really worth harboring those things in your heart? Wouldn't God rather you have to just bury the hatchet in this thing? Get it done. Don't hold it. God won't allow us to continue in unforgiveness. He wants us to deal with it as soon as humanly possible. And what is the golden rule? We know this. "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." getting close here to the end, and let me just read this to you. It says, Jesus, speaking of the parable to his teaching about forgiveness, he says this. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment should be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And notice, he would not. But he went and he threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. And so when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. And then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, Jesus said, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. How significant is forgiveness? If you forgive men their trespasses, then God will forgive you. Yes, he does forgive you. And you know, but I think there's enough of an uncomfortability about this verse that don't just let it slide and go, well, I'm forgiven, I'm going to heaven. Yes, that may be true. But don't glide over this. Take it seriously. Because each one of us has perhaps some unforgiveness in our heart. I'd like to read to you something that a brother in Christ said many, many years ago. He was an English gentleman. He said, forgiveness means the restoration of something precious that has been broken. It means the discovering once again of something beautiful that was lost. It means knowing again a love that somehow has been broken. It is the reunion of that which life has allowed to become disjointed. It is harmony once again out of life's discord. It is the joy of companionship once again out of life's loneliness. It is life out of something sacred that we have allowed to die. It is faith and trust where there has been doubt, suspicion, and distrust. Yes, it is life's most beautiful word, and it has never been more beautiful than from the lips of Christ when he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. So how important is it to forgive? And again, many of us in this room have those issues of heart. So we need to take care of those things. Will you take care of those things? The Bible says that our life is but a breath. It's just a small little vapor and then eternity. And so shouldn't we get it right? Are you willing to swallow your pride? Even if you were the one being wronged, are you willing to go to the one who has wronged you, even though they haven't come to you yet? Are you willing to go to them? Say, I know you did something wrong to me, and I just want you to know that I forgive you. And would you forgive me for holding a grudge against you? Be surprised what'll happen. You'd be surprised how that'll change your family dynamics. And you may even be able to share Christ with them. That may be the moment that them knowing that you're a Christian, that may be the one moment where they can say, you know what, I'm willing to listen to you now. Up to this point, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And you can take them right to this verse and you can say, you know what, the Lord has commanded me to share this with you, and I know that it's right to do, and that's why I'm here. And so even as we look at this model prayer, there are a lot of things in it. And so think about that as you go through and as you begin to pray. If you can use this as a model to help organize your prayer life, to keep your mind from wandering, to keep it somewhat organized. Do it. Use it. Under each one of these headings, you can spend 10 or 15 minutes, or maybe a couple minutes. Spend your time worshiping. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, I pray for your will to be done in my life today, in the lives of my friends and my family, Lord. May your will be done. And Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Help us, Lord, for the things that we need today, Lord. I don't even know what I have need. Our furnace may break down, and it did recently. My furnace may break down, and I may need help in fixing it and getting it fixed, the money to get it fixed. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Supply our needs, Lord. And forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Lord, you know how I've had a bitterness against so-and-so, Lord. They've hurt me. You know the situation, God. I'm angry. I don't ever want to talk to them again. And Lord, I know I'm wrong because I go to bed every night. And when I think of them, it just turns me sour. Would you forgive me, Lord, and help me to get it right the next time I see him? And then to remember, for yours is the kingdom. It all belongs to you. All power belongs to you. What a blessing, huh? Isn't it encouraging? Be encouraged in your prayer, folks. There's no magic formula. If there is a magic formula, here it is. If there's any formula at all, there it is. Use it as a springboard for your prayer life. And don't be discouraged. God has been hearing your prayer, and he's going to continue to hear your prayer. But join me in saying, Lord, I also know things could be doing much better than they are right now, because I'm certainly not praying as often as I ought to. I certainly am praying very self-centeredly. And Lord, I'm very distracted. And Lord, I know that those things that you want to help me in that, because you want that more than I do. And I want it because I need it. I need you. If that rings a true in your own heart, would you stand with me? Let's stand and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for your encouragement, Lord, your exhortation to us today. Lord, even in this model prayer, we realize there's so much that we can be praying about within the context of this model prayer. And Lord, would you change us that we would be men and women of prayer again, and that we'd pray for others in addition to our own needs, but Lord, to look at the needs of others. And to pray for our country, Lord, to pray for our kids and our grandkids, Lord, to pray for the government, those in authority over us, Lord, to pray for all these things. And Lord, deliver us from bitterness of heart and unforgiveness of heart, and help us to come before you, lay them at your feet, and to get it right with our fellow man, Lord. Have your way with us today, Lord. Keep us safe, and thank you for your great love for us, Lord Jesus Christ. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
That's the end of our lesson for today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues our study in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.